If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, what's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Josh All alone with you here. It's Wednesday morning, so I thought about maybe waiting until later in the day to report an episode. You know, that way I could include some practice reports maybe, because the Browns are back on the field today getting ready for Jacksonville on Sunday. But there's enough to talk about here that I wanted to jump in, get some information out there, get some thoughts and opinions, because we are going to do a Dog Pack Discord show with our Patreon Dog Pack members tomorrow night to preview the Jacksonville Jaguars game. So stay tuned later in the week for that episode. And if you want to be part of something like that, we're going to probably do those every week for the game previews going forward in the season. So if you want to be in those Dog Pack Discord shows, just head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on the Patreon page, get you access to the private Discord, get you access to the fantasy football leagues next season, because we've obviously already started those this year. And it's just a great place to hang out with like-minded people, diehard Browns fans from around the world, not just here in America, but all over the place. It's a ton of fun, ton of great people. Jointhedogs.com if you're interested in all of that. You can kind of tell if you're watching this, you probably see my demeanor. I'm looking at the video on my screen of myself, and it's like, okay, I'm looking in the mirror basically here, and I look dejected. I feel dejected. I'm definitely disappointed, and I know that that's how many of you are feeling. I'm sure most of you are disappointed. And, you know, there's anger after what happened, you know, Sunday against the Cowboys in Cleveland. There's all these emotions, these reactions that we go through. But I think for me, the biggest one is just disappointment. We talked for the weeks leading up to that Dallas game. Like, it's a good team. Like, we're kicking off the season against a very good opponent. Dallas has a great defense, very good offense, like one of the best receivers in the league, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. This is a good team. And, you know, win or lose, at least was my approach to the first game, because it's just the first game. And again, we need to keep that in mind as we go through all this as well. like, it's just the first game, guys. It's one of 17. We got 16 more to go. Like, we got a long season ahead of us. Anything can happen here. If last season taught us nothing else, we should know from 2023 that anything can happen, no matter what we endure during the season, especially early on. But, you know, going into the game, my mentality was definitely win or lose. I want to see a competitive ball game. I want to see the Browns put up a good fight. You know, if we lose by, you know, a field goal, touchdown, whatever, you know, however it shakes out in the end, I want to see that the Browns are out there toe to toe with another very good football team in the NFL. And, you know, they weren't. They weren't close. They didn't look like they should have even been on the same field in the same league as the Cowboys on Sunday. And that was the disappointing part. You know, after the defensive performances at home last year, I kind of want to start just with a quick mention there on the defense. You know, it was not an elite performance like we got used to seeing last year, but I do have to give the defense quite a bit of leeway because they were on the field for damn near the whole game. Our offense was awful, just so awful. And, you know, so the defense can only do so much. I mean, when you're out there, I mean, at one point, I think Justin and I were at the game. We're partway through the third quarter. We're checking, you know, they got all the stats on the scoreboard there, and time possession was double. Like, the Cowboys doubled the Browns' time of possession to that point. And what's defense supposed to do? They're on the field twice as long as the other team's defense. And, you know, they're doing the best they can. So I got to give, you know, some leeway, benefit of the doubt to our defense in that one, because they were not put in a great situation. The offense was putrid. You know, I started to go back through the all 22 today. Just basically, I got through the first half of our offensive series before I said, I've seen enough. I can't really do much more. There was blame to go all the way around. We'll get to Deshaun Watson. That's what we'll talk the majority of this episode about. But, you know, offensive line penalties just bad, put us in bad situations. Negative run plays put us in second, thirds, and longs, and missed blocks and drop passes, wide open dropped passes, but also some of the worst throws I've seen from a professional quarterback who's supposed to be a franchise quarterback. And I've talked to a lot of people this week because obviously myself, you know, the dogs, Blake, Justin, like, we've been one of Deshaun Watson's, you know, staunchest supporters. We've defended him quite a bit over the years here. Just, you know, and I don't really have a good layout for how I even want to present this information to you guys. I'm just kind of getting on here and talking it out. And, you know, obviously the legal stuff we can talk about here. But, you know, last year, the play on the field, if you go back and watch, it really was not like, people say, oh, he was terrible last year, you know, aside from that one half in Baltimore. Well, that's not really the case. I mean, he played some pretty good football last year. And that was what was leading me to be so encouraged about this season, because if you go back, look through his career in Houston, a lot of times it was a slow start to the season for him. And by slow, I just mean, like, by the end of the year, he was producing at a much higher level than what he was at the beginning. But, you know, an entire offseason, we poured so many resources into this offense, this new scheme to bring in these offensive minds and develop a system to put around him to make him comfortable. And we got weapons and receivers and all this bullshit, and none of it looked like it mattered. Okay, so it's very possible that I'm teetering on the overreaction side of things from week one, and I caution everybody not to overreact to week one, myself included. So I'm trying not to do that. The thing for me is there was very little to even be encouraged about in week one from our offense. And I know just from last year alone that can flip on its head real quick, and we can come out and all of a sudden look like one of the world's best offenses any given Sunday. Like, that is in the realm of outcomes for the Browns and with Kevin Stefanski as the coach. But is it in the realm of possibilities with Deshaun Watson at quarterback? And I know that's the question that a lot of people are asking. And, you know, for me, it's the disappointment of, I didn't expect him to light the world on fire on Sunday. I didn't expect him to come out here and just pick apart, dice up the Dallas Cowboys defense as if we were playing the Panthers. But I didn't expect him to have the worst quarterback performance of the entire week in the entire league. I would recommend everybody go check out Quincy Carrier's video that came out. I believe it came out today. It was either today or last night for his thoughts on Deshaun Watson. I think that video, he does such a great job of breaking everything down, the whole legal situation, expectations, possible outcomes, and then his play on the field from Sunday. He did a phenomenal job breaking it all down. I just go check it out, watch his video. I think he presented all that exceptionally well. So that was good to see. I'm just disappointed. It just sucks. I'm disappointed. This is not what I wanted the week after the Cowboys game, win or lose, to be like. And it's not just the fact that we lost. It's the way we lost. It's how we looked. It's how he looked. And now it's another fucking case, lawsuit against him that we have to talk about. It is not even fucking close to what I wanted to be talking about on the Wednesday between week one and week two, getting ready to go down to Jacksonville and face Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. But here we are. This is what we have to talk about. This is what everybody's talking about. And obviously, you know, we're a Cleveland Browns podcast. We got to cover the team. And unfortunately, this is what we're being handed to deal with. And I started this out saying, like, I've been one of the biggest supporters, one of the biggest defenders for him. And I'm getting to the point now where I'm kind of getting done fucking doing it, because when it's not one thing, it's the next. And that is becoming a trend now. So let's just talk about the legal stuff real quick. Again, go check out Quincy's video. He breaks that down pretty concisely, and I don't want to just, you know, rinse and repeat what he said. So just go check his out if you want the additional information. It's all good there. For me, obviously, and Blake, we talked about this on the episode Monday night. What made it possible, I guess, what made it seem like the right thing to do to defend him on the prior cases and the suspension and all that stuff was, well, obviously, it was all the research that went into that whole situation. We have all those videos on YouTube here, back in the podcast feed way back like a year or two ago. Check them out if you're interested. And all of that, all the information around those cases just came out like, okay, you know, here were the accusations against him. And then the counter accusations were so heavily in his favor that I was like, well, no wonder two grand juries dismissed these cases, because, and no charges were ever brought against him, because it all seemed like a big sham. It really did. It seemed like a big money grab. You know, I mean, long story short, let's just say the prior allegations, because all those cases were so similar, we can just lump them together in that, you know, these were massage therapist appointments that he had booked or whatever, and they were all alleging sexual misconduct. And I know there's a lot of people out there who say, misconduct, assault, battery, rape, what's the difference? Legally, guys, you have to understand this terminology, these terms in the legal sense make a big difference. There's a huge difference between sexual misconduct all the way to rape. Okay. So if you hear people just throwing terms out there as, you know, interchangeably, just understand that they're not interchangeable terms. They all have significant meaning within the legal system. And that's why we try to be as particular and accurate as possible when we're talking about these things. But the first set, everything from, you know, prior to his suspension, prior to the trade and all that stuff, was sexual misconduct, essentially, with these massage therapists. And all of the counter evidence from his side showed that these women were still trying to have massage sessions with him, still trying to ask him out on dates. Some of these women showed up at his house. These women would tell their friends and family members that, oh, he's such a great guy. We have such a good time together. I really like him, all this and that. So if you just, you got to look at it from the legal side of things here. You have no chance of getting a criminal charge against somebody when you allege that they perform sexual misconduct on you. But then there's evidence that you were still talking to him, trying to go on dates with him, asking for repeat sessions after the alleged incident. Well, that just throws it all out the window. I mean, you can't do that. You can't do that and expect anything to come of it. So that's why defending all that was like, you know, these women, when you're trying to accuse somebody of doing something that made you uncomfortable, but yet you went back and did that same thing with him multiple times after said event, kind of destroys the credibility for you on that one. This case this week, this new lawsuit that came out, we're going to talk about all this other bullshit that's coming out with it that I'm just, as a Browns fan, I don't fucking want to deal with it. It's football season. I want to talk about football. I want to talk about the Jags. I want to talk about what the team needs to do on the damn field to get ready to win a ball game. Not this stuff. So, but here we are again, here we are. And this new lawsuit alleges it, this is different. We talked about it Monday night, but again, this is completely different than the other ones in that it was a completely different setting, a completely different story, completely different situation. It was a romantic date that he was supposed to be going on with this woman. And again, these are all the allegations. No corroborating evidence or anything to go with it that we've seen yet. So again, these are just the allegations behind the lawsuit itself. But she's suing because she says back in October 2020, they were going to go on a date, blah, blah, blah. He couldn't find her apartment. He called. He was pissed off, angry on the phone or whatever. So she got him there, gave him directions, whatever. He ends up at her apartment. She invites him in because she's not done getting ready. So she's trying to finish her makeup, yada, yada, yada. She's in the bathroom, you know, just having a conversation with him back and forth. And then he is not responding. So she walks out, you know, the bathroom of her apartment to kind of see like, okay, is he okay? And I don't even know if I really want to get into the details of the allegations, but it wound up in him forcing himself on her and committing unwanted sex. So I guess the allegations are sexual assault and battery. Again, to me, that all sounds like rape, but I know that in legal terms, there is a difference, and I don't know what all that difference is exactly to get it and why the lawsuit is sexual assault and not rape technically. So I'm sure we'll get more details on all that. But again, no corroborating evidence. Blake made a very good point on Monday. He said, you know, the evidence, obviously you're not getting, like he said, you're not getting video camera evidence. You're not getting any sort of hard evidence to support her claims. But the evidence that we need to see is what interactions happened between these two after the alleged incident. So like Blake pointed out very well, are there text messages, voicemails, Instagram messages, whatever, from her, you know, between them saying, you know, hey, let's go out again. Did she go on another date with him? More dates? Did they spend more time together after this? Or like Blake said, did she kick him out of her apartment and immediately block him on all her social medias? Does she have messages from him that she ignored or said, please leave me alone, like quit bothering me? That's the kind of stuff that's going to sway this one way or the other, because like in those former cases, all of the preceding interactions between the women and Deshaun completely dismissed everything that they were claiming he did. Whether it happened or not doesn't matter, because what they did after the fact discredited the accusations. That's why everything was dismissed. So we need to see the evidence in this situation. Does the information that comes out, the evidence that comes out after these allegations now, does it discredit the allegations or does it lend credit to the allegations? And that's what we're waiting to see. So I'm not jumping to conclusions one way or the other. Obviously, we've preached that heavily on this show. Like you just gotta let the facts come out. You gotta let the information emerge and let the situation unfold. Because like we saw with Mike Hall, you know, people immediately are saying, cut the guy. He should be in jail. And, you know, we're trying to take a step back and say, like, everything sounds bad. All the allegations sound bad, but you got to let the information come out, because otherwise, if we're just going to base every single reaction, punishment, everything that we do and think just based on accusations, we're going to get ourselves in big trouble collectively, because what's to stop anybody from saying anything about anybody else just to get a bad reaction on that person? So I try to walk that line, but the line that I am done walking is, it's week two of the 2024 NFL season, and we don't need this. Big news, Dog Pack. We are thrilled to announce we have a partnership now with BetStamp and Sign Up Expert, opening up an incredible opportunity for you to join some of our favorite sportsbooks and get the best odds and new user offers this NFL season. Head over to our dedicated page at signupexpert.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S, to explore a whole selection of sportsbooks tailored to your region, each with unique offerings for you. If you guys are ready to take your sports betting to the next level this NFL season, head over to signupexpert.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S, and check out the new user offers and the best odds on all the sports books. That's signupexpert.com/dogs. This episode is brought to you by Bodden Sports. Browns fans, Bodden Sports is your one-stop shop for all your athletic gear. Bodden started out perfecting and manufacturing the best balls in the business. Yeah, if that sounded dirty, that's more about your mind than my words. But hey, it's true. Baseballs, softballs, footballs, basketballs, volleyballs, soccer balls, you name it, and Bodden has engineered the highest standard sports balls available. And now they offer more than just sports balls. If you got kids playing baseball or softball, Bodden has batting gloves and bats to go along with both game balls and training balls. If you're into basketball, Bodden makes basketball specifically for indoor or outdoor use. Heck, Bodden even has all the equipment you need for pickleball, which is one sport that I hear everyone is playing and yet I still never have. And I need to fix that soon. But don't miss the backyard game section of Bodden's website, where you can order everything you need for this upcoming outdoor season. Pool balls, backyard volleyball nets, croquet, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, and more. Right now, you can get 10% off your entire order at Bodden Sports, B-A-D-E-N Sports.com/dogs, D-A-W-G-S, and use promo code DOGS when you check out. That's 10% off all the top quality sporting gear you need this season. BoddenSports.com/dogs.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health. their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
We don't need this. Whether nothing ever comes of this or whatever, and you know, we can talk about that too with like the NFL now is doing an investigation. They've said that, you know, a commissioner exempt list is not an option, but that's because there were no criminal charges. So it's different from the Mike Hall situation, because Mike Hall was actually charged with a misdemeanor. Like, he actually had a criminal charge brought against him. So that in the terminology of the commissioner's exempt list qualifies you to be put on the commissioner's exempt list. Deshaun Watson has never been charged with anything. That's why he's never been on the exempt list. And that's why, as of now, exempt list is not an option because there are no charges. But because this is a civil court situation. But suspension is 100% on the table for Deshaun Watson, because the fact that the NFL is doing an investigation now into this situation, show, because there have been a couple other cases obviously that have popped up in, you know, like the last year, year and a half, but they were the same as the ones before. The stuff that he'd already been suspended for, the NFL didn't investigate those like first or second cases afterward that popped up, because they were the same nature, same situation. They were just whatever, just additional. And so those weren't investigated. But the fact that the NFL is now investigating this one, and Quincy did a good job talking about all that too, means that there's absolutely a chance that he gets suspended depending on what they find. Because if they find that this situation also violated the personal conduct policy of the NFL, they are going to suspend him. You bet your ass they're going to suspend him. If it's Deshaun Watson, if the NFL had their way, he'd be out of the league already. It's the Browns. If they can mess with the Browns, they're going to. So I really feel like there's a good chance something's going to happen here. We have not gotten a ton of more information about it, but I mean, that's because they are looking into it right now. So all we can do at this point is talk about the information we do have, the situation, the facts that we do know, which aren't many, and obviously we can speculate. I don't want to speculate too much. Just know that this is being investigated, which means that another suspension is on the table. And I know there's a lot of people out there that, well, if he gets suspended, you know, there's that whole clause, I think it was like clause 42 or whatever in the contract. You know, he can be, the Browns can void that contract. But go watch, I know I'm going to say this a bunch, go watch Quincy's video. He talks all about the contract situation and how it's not so easy as, oh, Deshaun gets suspended, the Browns can just cut bait and move on. That's not the situation. That's not how easy it is. If the Browns want to, for any reason, if they feel that Deshaun has violated any portion of that contract and they want to get out of it, it's going to have to go to court based on what the way Quincy broke it down. So, I mean, if we're talking about a situation that is not just, you know, inconvenient for the Browns, it's a freaking mess. Like, if this is the route we end up going down, it is going to be a drawn out pain in the ass. And I just have this gut feeling that we are only at the beginning of a shitstorm if the NFL does come back with enough to say he violated the conduct policy and they're going to suspend him. That's not the end of Deshaun Watson. That's just the beginning of the end. And that whole process could be very long, drawn out, and just really suck for all of us as Browns fans. So, you know, there's also the other side where this whole thing could just blow over. The counter evidence could pretty much shut this whole thing down right where it stands. And we never really hear too much more about it in the future, other than people just trying to throw it out there as stuff on social media to down Browns fans. But it's week two. We don't need this. It's week two. This is not what I wanted to be talking about. This is not what I would even, I didn't even think this is what I'd be talking about, because there's enough other to talk about how shitty he played on Sunday. And, you know, we talked a lot about, well, the offensive line was horrible. The receivers were dropping all these passes and whatnot. But, and that stuff is true. The offensive line, you guys got to play better. That's, come on now. Receivers, guys, come on. Like, I mean, you got to just catch the freaking ball. Especially like the David Njoku wide open drop across the middle. Come on, man. Like, dude, I thought we were past this. But Deshaun played terrible. He really did. And you know, I get so much shit from the Deshaun haters online and stuff, because they're like, oh, you'll defend this guy no matter what. No, I won't. I won't defend him no matter what. I'm gonna sit here right now and tell you flat out, bad game. Bad game. But was it just a bad game? Or is he actually not good anymore? And we talked about that on Monday night too. You know, going into the season, we had every reason to believe, every reason to give him the benefit of the doubt, at least from our perspective, that he's going to be okay. Because, I mean, he's been an elite level quarterback before. You can't deny that. When he was in Houston, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I mean, that's, if you deny that, then you are just really a hater. Because he was so good. But there was actually a comment in our YouTube chat on the live show on Monday night, and they said, I forget who it was. Sorry if you're watching this. I don't remember who posted it in there, but shout out to you anyway. They said, the off the field has destroyed Deshaun Watson just like it destroyed Tiger Woods. It's not like we haven't seen this happen to professional athletes before, where, you know, off the field situations completely derail their career. And we will see what happens. But Quincy had a good point. He said that all offseason he'd been telling his viewers, his fans and everything, that he needs 8 games. He needs 8 games out of Deshaun Watson this season to make a final, yes, he's the guy, let's keep going, or no, we got to move on. He needed 8 games, coming off the shoulder surgery, coming off time missed last year, new offensive system, all that kind of stuff. Let's give it the first 8 games. Let's make a judgment after that. That's enough time to know for sure what we have. He said that Deshaun's game was so bad on Sunday against the Cowboys, that performance was so bad that 8 game has now come down to 2. And he's like, give me Jacksonville. And how did Quincy put it? If we're still sitting here next week arguing whether that Jacksonville game was better than his Dallas game, or, you know, talking about, well, it was better than the Dallas game at least, we're out. We got to be done, because that's how bad the Dallas game was. So, you know, watching some of that all 22, seeing the throws, seeing, I just, man, it sucks, guys. this is not what I thought was going to happen. And again, I do want to acknowledge that this could be trending down the overreaction side of things. I get it. He could come out Sunday against Jacksonville and light him up. That is in the range of possible outcomes. Definitely. I believe that 100%. And we're having a much different conversation next week. But he's got to light him up. Like, it can't be a, oh, he played okay or good enough to win. Like, he needs to be great, great against Jacksonville. But man, this new lawsuit just sucks, because this is what people are talking about. I'm looking at national media bullshit here. Dan Le Batard floats out the theory that the Browns themselves were the ones that leaked the new Deshaun Watson sexual assault allegations. We have national media people saying that the Cleveland Browns organization is the one leaking this information to help speed along the process to get rid of him. After week one! It's going to be a long season, guys. If this is the kind of shit we're dealing with, it's going to be a long season. Oh my gosh. But hey, here we are. You know what? And you know, I wanted to get on here just me myself today, because I've got the time during the day to do podcasting. The other guys have jobs. Well, I mean, I have a job too, but I mean, they work all day. So I just wanted to get on here, get some of this off my chest, talk, let you guys hear, listen. I'm sure you guys are either nodding along or shaking your head, or, you know, having your own internal dialogue as you listen to this or watch this, but put it in the comments. What do you think? What are you feeling as a Browns fan? And have you been a Deshaun supporter? Have you been a Deshaun optimist? Have you been a Deshaun hater? Like, where are you on the spectrum before this past weekend, before this new lawsuit? Where are you now? And, you know, how much longer are you willing to ride this ship? Because I think we're getting close to, at least for those of us who weren't already off the ship, I think we're getting pretty close to that point. Sunday can't come soon enough. We need to get out there against Jacksonville, show something. Got to get the win, and got to look good doing it. Because I mean, another thing that's so disappointing for me too is the offense was so bad. That's just hard for me to fathom a drastically different outcome from the offense on the field just 7 days later. They sucked. Like they sucked. They sucked so bad. So disappointing. After everything we went through this offseason, being excited about this team, what we were told about, how it was going to go, and that's not how it went. So much different opponent in Jacksonville on Sunday. So we'll see how that goes. I guess just to kind of wrap things up here, real quick, one piece of news that I meant to say this up front before I got into the Watson stuff, that as a Browns fan, there's really nothing else you're thinking about right now. That is what's going on. Four guys placed on IR today. Juan Thornhill, safety Juan Thornhill, is on IR with a calf injury. Calf injury kept him out. I believe it was it during the preseason or during training camp? It might have been training camp. He was injured last year a lot, on and off IR. Like, just, I posted this on Twitter, but like, I'm starting to think Thornhill just might not ever be a guy that plays much for us. Sucks. Had a lot of high hopes for him, but I guess that kind of seems to be the theme right now with some of these players. Maurice Hurst, ankle injury on IR. That sucks. We were already thinning out at defensive tackle, which, you know, going into the season, we thought, hey, this is a pretty deep position for us. Mike Hall's in the exempt list. Now Mo Hurst is on IR. Here we go again with all this stuff. Tony Fields Jr., IR with an ankle, and Muhammad Diabate on IR with a hip. So linebackers are scarce for the Browns right now. It's like JOK, Hicks, Buki, and whoever we just signed. I don't even remember who it was, but whatever, we signed somebody. So those guys are all going to miss at least 4 weeks. Not great. Not great. But I guess just one thing that's, I mean, it's, again, I just can't believe we're talking about this shit. I just can't believe it. It's kind of wild, but I'm sure the reason I want to talk about Leroy Bickerstaff is because I know it's going to get brought up on the Discord show tomorrow night by by a lot of our Dog Pack members. So I just want to preface anybody out there that watches this podcast, listens to it on audio, and you're not on Twitter, you're just not familiar with what's going on. There is clearly a fake bullshit Twitter account called Leroy Bickerstaff. I think it's Leroy Bick or Lee Bick 4 or something like that. Just look it up if you're on Twitter or X, whatever they want to call it. And you know, the account was created. It shows you when the account's created. It was September 2024, so like just here in the last week. So brand new account. It has over 3,000 followers already in a week. They've got over 3,000 followers, and they don't follow anybody. So it's you pull it up. There's no profile picture. It's fans are speculating that this is Deshaun Watson's burner account, because there's only one post. There's, you know what? Let me just bring it up. Let me just bring it up for you guys. Cause I want to read it. I want to read it right. So Leroy Bickerstaff, let's see. So it is Leroy Bickers 4 at Leroy Bickers 4. If you want to go look it up. Woo, man, this guy is growing like crazy. When I checked this last night, he was at 2.1 thousand followers. This morning it was 3. And here, just a few hours later, it is 3.8, almost 4,000 followers on Twitter. Zero following. Okay. No profile picture. And just one post so far. And it was during the Monday night game between the 49ers and the Jets. And it says, if Deshaun had a tackle like Trent Williams, he'd be able to show his greatness. Deshaun can't succeed when he's got no chance back there. Okay. So then you got to click into the replies, and just, he has responded to all sorts of stuff online about Deshaun. You know, Jake Burns posted 10 penalties on just the offense alone. And then he listed all the penalties and what they were. Leroy Bickerstaff says, yep, but we gone come on here and blame Four when it's the offense as a whole. Give Four no chance at success when he's backed up like this every time. Let's see. We've got, I mean, he's responding to a bunch of things, and it's pretty much all the offensive line sucks. The coach sucks. The play calling sucks. And Deshaun's the best quarterback ever, and he's being held back. He needs to get out of this city, off this team, for his greatness to truly be, you know, unleashed and all this kind of stuff. So it is, and I'm not coming on here and doing this to say that I believe this is Deshaun Watson, like a burner account, that he's doing this or anything, but it is funny. Like, it is weird. It's very weird. It's very obvious that it's something in that realm, whether it's him or somebody totally unrelated. Maybe you guys out there who know more about Twitter than I do, because I'm still relatively new to how Twitter works and using it and everything, even though I do all the social media stuff for the most part. But how? If somebody out there can explain this to me in a way that makes more sense, I'd love to hear it. Seriously, drop it in the comments. Let me know, and we'll talk about it on the next show. But how does a brand new account that's been created within the last week get to almost 4,000 followers without following a single account and with only one post on the account? Obviously a whole bunch of replies, but how is that possible? I would love to hear it. So I just wanted to kind of break that situation down, just give you guys a little insight onto that whole situation, because I know it's going to get brought up tomorrow when we do the Discord show. I just know it. So, and I don't know if we'll take all the time to explain what's going on. So there you go. There's your explanation. That way tomorrow we can refer back to this episode, say, well, go back and check that out if you're not sure what's going on with Leroy Bickerstaff on X. Go give him a follow. He's obviously a popular dude. So again, let me know how this is possible for anybody who's more versed at Twitter than I. But that's going to do it for today. I just got to get on here and talk about stuff, because if I don't, I'm going to go nuts. because I just want to talk about it. That's why we started this podcast in the first place. Safe space to talk about this stuff, I think. I just can't believe. I cannot believe that this is what we're talking about in week two. Sucks, but here we are. We'll do it together, Browns fans. That's what we've always done. That's what we'll continue to do. So drop your thoughts, your feelings in the comments. And again, if you want that deeper therapy session area, please go to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. We are in there, the Dog Pack, like people are just constantly venting in there and we are all in this together and it's just a great place to be. And you get access to the private Discord. Well, obviously that's where all the conversations happen. But then you get the opportunity to come on to the Dog Pack Discord shows like we will be doing tomorrow night to preview the Browns going down to Jacksonville, 2-0-1 teams trying to get their first win of the new season on Sunday. So it'll be a lot of fun. And we're going to have a good conversation tomorrow night. It should be me, Blake, Justin, all in there with everybody. So we'll see how it goes. It'll be interesting. There's just so much going on suddenly with the Browns that, we're not expecting. But here we are. We'll do it together. And we will continue to be with you guys throughout the entire season. Let's go, Brownies.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.